Let's look at Matthew 13 and 23. Very familiar passages of scripture. But he that received seed into the good ground, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. I want to bounce off of this verse. I'm not going to teach you the whole parable. We've heard it many times. But I want to teach from these two words, understanding. Understanding. Lord, open up our eyes today. Open up our ears. Open up our thought process that we might understand what you're trying to do for the church in the day and the hour that we live in. For where sin does abound, oh God, your grace does much more abound. Thank God for that much more. Amen. As we advance in this life that we live, God, we realize that things will get worse, but God will get better to those that serve him. We ask you to be with this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You may be seated. There are four things in this passage of Scripture that the good ground should produce. It is brought to light in this one verse. The parable talks about the wayside, the hard ground, the rocky ground, the thorns, the thistles, and all these things. But I hope this morning, I don't need to rehearse that with you this morning. I want to talk to you about the good ground. I believe everybody here has got good ground. But I want to bring to you to where you can bring forth. Because you can have good ground and still not bring forth. So I want to talk to you this morning about these four things, but mostly this understanding. But the four things in here is hearing. Number one, hearing. He that heareth the word and understandeth it, that's number two. You have to understand what you heard. And then number three, bearing. He beareth fruit. And number four, he brings forth. So those are four things in that one verse, hearing, understanding, bearing, and bringing forth. The ultimate thing is what? Bringing forth. But if you don't follow these three prior ones, you will never bring forth. Because even in the prior one, the thorns and the thistles choked it out. It never brought fruit to perfection, so there was never anything to bring forth. So we have to produce meat for the master's table. God is looking for a return on his investment into your soil. And so this is the very text that perhaps is the most important of all the texts, because Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, he said, how will you understand the rest of them? Do you know there's some fundamentals that you have to understand about living for God? And I like when people come in through Bible studies. And the reason I like when they come in through Bible studies is because they have already a fundamental understanding of what they're getting into. But sometimes people come to God, and I'm not against that. But let me tell you, it's very difficult to go. People don't want to go back many times to get that Bible study once they get relief from what they're under. But if you get a fundamental understanding of what you're getting into when you come to Christ, then you usually make a choice. Can I do this or not do this? And so I'm afraid many times people come to Christ without the understanding of what they're getting into. Many of them said, Christ, I'll follow you. He said, okay, birds have nests, foxes have holes. I have no place to lay my head. Come on, let's go. Oh, well, you know, that's not what I had in mind. And many times people think that living for God, this journey, is all roses and it's all fun and games. Let me tell you, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory in the spiritual side, but there's many woes to the flesh side. There's many you have to persecute your own flesh. Let that soak in. And so I want to talk about this understanding thing. Many times we talk about the word understanding and we put the word together, and it's not wrong to do that. It fundamentally means the same thing. But I want to break it apart today to help us understand what the scriptures are really saying and really help us to have a comprehension about what they're saying. But in order to better understand this scripture, it is better for me to break the words apart and let you know that everything has an understanding. See, this is what we have to, oh, I understand. No, you have to be able to, it's what's under you that enables you to stand. So this opens up, just that simple thought opens up a whole new revelation, if you will, of how do you stand? Where do you stand on this matter? Well, I'm going with him. Well, you don't even have an understanding of what you're doing. We need something to stand on. For if the foundation of the righteous be destroyed, how shall they stand? You must have an understanding of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so standing is predicated upon having something under you. Because if there's nothing under you, you will not stand. You cannot stand. So this morning I ask you, what do you stand for? What is underneath you that keeps you standing? Do you understand? Do you comprehend? Without a foundation, nothing can stand. This building cannot stand. There's something under this carpet that's stronger than the carpet. There's got to be something in a marriage that's stronger than I do. There's got to be something stronger at the job than just a paycheck. There's got to be an understanding of why am I here? What am I supposed to do in the kingdom of God? Lest we fall and never bring forth fruit to perfection. The fruitfulness of any person is first based upon hearing. According to the scripture, you must first hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not other people, not the chatter, not some quote that somebody had. Faith only comes by hearing the word of God. So it is through faith we what? Understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed so that things appear were not made from things that do not appear. So that we have through faith we understand. So we stand by what? Faith. We walk by what? Faith. So that is what holds me up. When everything else is going down, faith holds me up. And so we have to have an understanding when you come to God that not everything has an answer to it. Pastor, tell me this. I don't have an answer to it. Just take it by faith. And that's what we stand on, is faith. So if your faith is shattered, you have nothing to stand on. Are you understanding this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Faith is our understanding to walk and to live. I live by faith. Paul said, in him I live and have my being. So that this seed, this good ground, you this morning, you've heard the word of the Lord. But do you understand what you're hearing? Because without an understanding, you will never bring forth fruit. He didn't say some one, some two, some three. He said some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. That's 30 times what they heard. 30 times. Wow, what a harvest. What a harvest. It's been said, and I don't know the math. Somebody could do it. If you took one grain of corn and you planted it, it will yield so many other grains, and you take those grains and plant them. I don't remember. It's not long before you can feed the whole world. You can feed the whole world from one grain. You have to have that understanding lest you eat your one grain. People that don't pay their tithes don't realize they're eating their harvest. They're consuming their harvest. Because it is the first fruit that God wants. Not the last fruit, not if I got anything. It's the first fruit that he wants. And therefore, that predicates how the rest of it will be. When you cook, and by the way, I'm still picking up stuff off the road for our men's thing. Found a good possum the other day. It's fresh too, and it wasn't dead long. It'd be good. But when I do cook that, you know what? You can stir the pot and stir the pot and stir the pot. I don't need to eat a whole bowl to see what the rest of it tastes like. I've watched too many cooks stir the pot and get them a spoon and taste one spoon, because whatever is in that one spoon is in the rest of the pot. The same thing is true when God brings forth a harvest. When he brought them across Jordan River to spy out the land, it was the time of the harvest, and they brought back the proof of the promise. Lord, the rest of it was just like this. Let's go at once. Hallelujah. But they said, no, we can't. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. So they ate. You hear me? They ate their promise. They ate their promise. Don't eat your promise. It is your seed for future. Oh, Lord. Most people fail at living for God because they lack the understanding of what they need to do to live for God to bring forth fruit. We live in a society that wants it instant. They want it quick. They want the fruit without the roots. Oh, my God. And you have to have roots if you're ever going to have fruit. That's why he called it good ground. It will support the roots. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now listen close. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When I plant any seed, I hope for fruit. Right? It is the evidence of things hoped for. Amen. But it is the substance of things hoped for. What I hope to get is tomatoes. What I hope to get is cucumbers. What I hope to get is watermelons. But I don't see it yet. But it is the evidence of things not seen. The roots. The roots. The fruit is the substance of things hoped for. The roots are the evidence of things not seen. You don't see the roots. You don't see the nutrition. You don't see that going up. But Lord, it is a substance. There is something at the end I will get. And I have to have faith that if I plant a seed, it will bring me a harvest. That's what happens in good ground. Canaan's land, the promised land, was not a land where they were just going to go eat and never plant. That's not what it was about. The promise was it was good ground. That was the promise. It's good ground. So if you plant a seed, you can get a harvest. The wilderness was bad ground, so you could plant a seed and never get a harvest. God wants us to live in a land of good ground so that every seed you plant brings forth what you planted. I don't like to plant things that don't bring something forth. I don't like uselessness. If I plant something, it better be pretty. It better be shady. It better bring forth fruit. It better do something. If I got a dog and I'm going to feed it, he better hunt. It's got to be profitable. I don't want to fool with it. And God wants you to be profitable. So what's lacking in churches and in families and the entire world today is instability. They have no roots. If this don't work out, I'll just go over there. If this don't work out, I'll just change over here. I'll just go. They have no stickability. And the problem is that many times people that have no roots are leaning on somebody else that has no roots. And if the blind lead the blind, they both end up in the ditch. You know what worried people do? They worry other people. I'll tell them over here. Do you know what worried people do? They worry other people. Because misery loves. And so they... You know why they're worried? I'm telling you why they're worried. They do not have an understanding. People that worry do not understand. They do not have the understanding to keep them supported up. So they share their worries with you and you start worrying with them. Two worriers don't solve the problem. Thank you, brother. Thank you. He understands what I'm talking about. The Bible talks about a parable that of a man who built his house upon the rock, and one built his house upon the sand. See, the people that build their house upon the sand, they're always worried. Storm coming, oh my God, you know, because they really know they have no foundation. If you ever bought a house that has flooded once, you will worry with every rain, every hurricane that comes by, every rise of the river, you're staying up all night. But if you've on a house that has never flooded, then you can sleep. You see? So people that worry constantly need support. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because their main words is, well, I don't know. That's the truth. You don't know. That's why you need to know. Because knowledge is understanding. That's what knowledge is. It's understanding. So that if you know, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding, knowledge. They don't know enough about me. Because if you knew enough about him, you'll know that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you know about him, then you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You fall back on those things that you know. He took me through this. He'll take me through that. But when people worry, they forget, he took me through that. He can take me through this. I killed a bear and a lion, so who is he but an uncircumcised Philistine? In the name of the Lord, I took these, I'll take him too. He had an under standing of what God did with the bear and the lion, so therefore he was not fearful to fight the giant. But without that understanding, you go, oh my God, there's no way this is going to work. And you worry. Oh Lord, a lot of warts coming up. Worry warts. The difference between these two houses was the type of foundation. The difference between success and failure is always the understanding. See, one man built his house on a solid rock, the other one shifting sand. And the weather came, rock or not. Rock or not, rock or not. The wind blew, rock or not. Didn't matter. It didn't matter what you were founded on. The wind came anyway. Life comes anyway. Problems come anyway. Hardship comes anyway. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. The sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. It's coming anyway, rock or not. But the man that built his house upon the rock withstood it. But the man who had the understanding that was like shifting sand, what happened was the wind and the waves undermined him because his foundation was shifty. And it fell, and the Bible says great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. That tells me he could not rebuild. But the man that had the house, it upon the rock, it stood firm. Why? A good understanding. He was standing upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. That's why you need Sunday school. That's why you need Bible teaching. That's why you need to preach inside the lids of the book. Hallelujah. Now, this is noteworthy. Because the most important thing about a foundation and your understanding is that it must come first. It must come first. Yeah. You can't build a house, put up your two befores, put in the windows, get your air conditioning units out, shingle it, and say, you know what? I need to build a foundation. Oh, Lord, I forgot about that foundation. You can't do it. You're too deep in it now. You need to start with a solid. Take time out for the foundation. Take time out to study your Bible. Get in a Bible class. Come to church. Come to Sunday school. Get as much word as you can get before you ever put up the first two before. Because the foundation must come first. Hallelujah. Too many people want ownership and they don't know anything about stewardship. You should never have ownership without stewardship. If you're not going to take care of what you own, then give it to somebody else. I picked up two hungry dogs, and if I'm not going to take care of those hungry dogs, I need to give them to somebody else, because ownership requires stewardship. And too many people in this world want ownership with no stewardship. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. And they don't want to have a foundation of stewardship. No pastor should ever be a pastor unless he wants to be a servant first. Nobody should ever want to be a foreman till he's grunt worked in the ditch too. There's something to be said about people that work their way up. The foundation is so important. My God. When you look at a house, many times, I'm not faulting you ladies, but y'all will go look at a new home you're going to buy, and you go, ooh, look at these pretty floors. Oh, I just love these pretty. Oh, those windows you can see outside. And the men are going around looking outside for cracks. While y'all are looking at all the pretty things, men are going around the slab. They're looking crack. Right? That's right. Ain't about right, it is right. And I will remember one time when I built a camp up at Toledo Bend, everybody's foundation was cracking. I mean, my neighbors were cracking. He was getting in these guys that jacked the thing up, and his walls were like this. It was a mess. That's what happens if you don't have a solid foundation. One piece of rock. One rock. Solid rock. And so I was before I did anything with my foundation, I wanted to check around. So I went to different houses, and they were crack, 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 crack. And so I went to, because what happens up there, the clay, it gets dry, and the clay pulls away, and the foundation needed that support, and it would crack. So there's one lady out there watering her flowers. And I saw she had a little brick home. She's watering her flowers, you know. And so I stopped. I said, how are you doing, ma'am? She said, oh, I'm doing fine. I said, you've lived here a long time, because I knew the house had been here quite a while. She said, oh, yeah, we've been here a long time. I said, have you ever noticed a crack in your slab or foundation? She said, oh, no, she's watering. I've never noticed that. And I looked over there at that brick, and it had this line going up. I said, you see that right there, ma'am? That's a crack. Oh, my God. I mean, it was separated like that. You see, you can water your flowers all you want to. You can act like there's nothing wrong all you want to, but something is shifting underneath. And if something shifts underneath, it moves everything above it. I mean, we need a solid foundation. So when I poured my slab, they had something called post-tension. Maybe you know what that is or don't. It's cables that go through there, and they pull from every side, so it's one piece. My slab is still solid, praise the Lord. Too many people desire the fruit without the roots. But you and I this morning, we realize that's why we're here this morning, is to get rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord. Because you need to understand the Holy Ghost itself, just the Holy Ghost does not save you. That's such a misnomer. People say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm saved. That's the day God saved me. No, he hasn't saved you yet. You're still working to be saved. Strive to make your calling and election sure. I'm trying to shore this thing up. And so, but the Holy Ghost opens up your understanding. Before he left, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then opened he up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So they could stand on the scriptures. So they could stand, thus saith the Lord. When Jesus fought the devil, he didn't fight him with 40 days of fasting. He didn't fight him with prayer. He fought him his understanding of the word of God. He fought him with what he stood on. He said, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm going to stand on that. See? You have to have something to stand on or the devil will shake your foundation. Well, I'm not real sure about what I believe. You'd be surprised how many people are not real sure about what they believe. I'm telling you, there'll be a wind come. There'll be a doctrine come. There'll be something come. You better shore up your foundation. Oh, my God, I'm going to run out of time, I know. Let me skip on down to some of this other stuff here. It's good stuff. When you look at the Tower of Babel, the reason they left off to build was because he confused their languages, it says, and their understanding, so that they no longer could understand each other. I have to work with different things with China right now, and I'm telling you, the hardest obstacle I've got, I've worked months on some projects, and it's like, don't you understand? Don't you understand? I sent them something, I said, and it's expensive to send stuff to China. I sent them something, I said, look, I want you to duplicate this, but what I'm going to send you is solid, but I want it to be hollow. Yes, we understand. When they got it, he sends me back. He said, but what you sent us is solid. You said you wanted hollow. Yes, it's solid. I want it hollow. You know, and they were going back and forth. I'm sending click pictures and pictures of it. What part of this do you not understand? But if we don't get a clear understanding, I will never get back what I want. And God will never get back what he wants without a clear understanding of his word. Amen. Too many people don't understand foundations, but I'm going to tell you somebody who understands foundations better than anybody. I picked on you women a little bit. Now here's where I exalt you. I got to make up before I close. Women understand foundations in this respect. A. And a little baby. A. B. B, and by the time, that's the foundation. If you can't say your ABCs, how will you ever read? How will you ever communicate? And when little Johnny is saying, oh, he can say his ABCs, Mama is so shouting, she's shouting about them ABCs. Daddy gets home, here, say your ABCs for Daddy. X, R. Mamas get excited about their children getting a firm foundation. And Lord, I don't want to tell you how excited moms get when them kids learn to get potty trained. Lord, they're dancing in the streets. See a mom out there dancing, you know why. The foundation, my brothers and sisters, Once you have it in place and it's solid, there is no limit to how high you can go. Did you understand what I'm saying? If you're built upon Christ Jesus, there is no limit to how high you can go. That when you start a building and say, what you going to put on it? You see? What you going to put on it? Well, I'm going to put, well, we better drill a little deeper. You see, over here, they're building a motel again by my house, again, like we need more motels. And I saw them core drill. They drill way down the hello. And because they're going to go, you know why? They're going to go way up. You don't pour a 4-inch slab to go way up, right? But I'm on Christ Jesus. And what determines my height is me. He's already paid the ultimate price. He's solid as solid can come. He can take every care, every burden, every weight, and we can put it all on. The whole world can put their burdens on him, and he won't crack. He's solid. He's forever. He's everlasting. He's from life to life and from everlasting to everlasting, from hope to hope. He never changes. Hallelujah. Real quick, let's look, though, at the foundation. Let's look at Ezra 3:10. Because not everybody understands the importance of foundations. And when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, okay? There's a party fixing to happen when the builders laid the foundation. And the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King of David, King of Israel. David was a worshiper, wasn't he? He was a praiser. He was a psalmist. He could play. He loved to dance. He was into the music part and the physical part. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praise the Lord. Why? Because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Oh my God. Finally, the foundation is the shouting material. Amen. If you shout way up here and you don't have a foundation, I've seen too many people that could shout all over the place, but they had no foundation. Next week, where are they at? I'm telling you where they're at. They're not on the foundation. They're not on the solid rock. And so what we see in this scripture is that when they laid the foundations, all the priests, all the Levites, they were all ready to shout. But can I tell you, there was a group of people there that was not ready to shout. Because this is not Solomon's temple of the first temple. This is the second temple. This is Ezra. This is the rebuilding of the wall and the rebuilding of the temple. So you had a generation of younger people that did not know Solomon's temple. They did not see the grandeur of Solomon's temple because it was all lost and destroyed. So to them, when they saw that little slab go down, they were like, "Woo! The Lord is good. His mercies endureth forever." And here was some old men. Can you believe they're shouting over this? They should have been in our day and seen what we saw. This is ridiculous. And the Lord had to talk to those old people about their attitude toward what was going on in this day. Watch. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that they had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You got one weeping and one shouting all at the same time. And it's over the same thing. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. They were crying as loud as they were rejoicing. And it caused commotion. And so what we find is the people that lived in the former days saw how great the former days were, and they wanted today to be like the former days, and they ridiculed what was going on today. That sounds familiar to me. And so while I love older people and I love the elders and I love the former days of Pentecost, and I'm so glad I'm kind of in that transition, but let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, I've already said you can't put new wine in old bottles. The older ones have to realize things and times have changed. This is what we have to work with. Now, we can shout and rejoice with what little we got, and that's the hope that we've got to make alive. Or we can think about yesterday, and I don't, and cause confusion and cause a difference between the young and the old so that nothing gets done. Are you hearing me? And so we have to realize, my brothers and sisters, God said in one place, I want to do a new thing, but you won't let me. He talked to them about the Red Sea and crossing of the Red Sea. They're still talking about Moses, how we crossed the Red Sea. And they're talking about Jordan River. Oh, and the priest, he said, that's good. I did that one time. I did that one time. There was only one day of Pentecost. Then there was a refreshing of the day of Pentecost over here in America, one time. And we're still living off of that. It's not the same day. If I could bring my grandpa back and he could be in my shoes, I wonder what he would do. He'd be facing things he didn't face. And I'd have been facing things he didn't face. God put me here for this time. And he put him there for that time. Hallelujah. God still knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. My Lord. One scripture or two. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know, this is what we know. See, he said, we know that whosoever, we know, this is my understanding, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know, three times, we know. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, my God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the foundation. The apostles' doctrine was based upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of Man was the Son of God. And they preached and taught that everywhere they went. Now, if that's not so, my foundation, I'm going to crumble. But that's what I'm standing on. Amen. Hallelujah. It worked for them. It'll work for me. It worked for them against more opposition than I'm facing today. Hallelujah. It'll work till he comes back. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you understand. I challenge you at home as a family. Or, you know, we're so busy today. We're challenged. Let me just tell you this, and I'm going to shut up. We're challenged as Sunday school teachers and as a church to try to bring your children to the level that we want them to be. Used to, you could give memory verses to kids, and they come back, and they could quote all these memory verses and all these. Now, if it ain't games and fun, quote something is boring. Let me tell you, you parents need to support the boring. Whoever said school wasn't boring? You send them to school, don't you? So what? It's boring. They're learning something. They need to understand that this is what living for God is about. It's not all fun and games. Sometimes boring is good, because that's what you tell your kids when they mess up. You say, go to your room. You're grounded. And you know why they won't? Oh, I'm sorry, Mama. You know why? They're bored. They're bored. They don't, you take all this away from them, they're bored. They don't know how to handle boredom. You need to teach them how to handle boredom. Oh, I better shut up. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless us today. Open up our understanding, hallelujah, in our minds. And Lord, help us to stand upon you, for I know that times will get worse than they are now. It is only the beginning of sorrows, but Lord, I do know this. Those that know you, Daniel said, will do great exploits during this time of wickedness. So Lord, I want to have a complete and a full understanding of your word and what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take a quick break and come back for morning worship.